Video game bang, video game bang, video game bang. Mega Ran. Live from the sack, it's the live, it's in fact. I'm putting rhymes on this track to put my guys on the map. Updates, geek news, tech talk, and reviews. They can summarize it so you ain't gotta breeze through. Listen once and you're forever fans. And I'm not saying it because their theme song features Mega Ran, the ultimate source of all geek media. Other podcasts, they just don't match up. Need proof? You can check the archives and catch up. Stats off the chain, we have rearranged the game. It'll never be the same. Now it's time to feel the bang.
What is up, my pizzas? Corey Vincent here, and this is a new episode of Video Game Bang, episode 514. Jesus. Would you believe it? And she's just turned 15 years old. Nexus was here. What is up? How you doing, Nexus?
Hello. It's 12, actually. hi, I'm here. Nexus was here and is here. I'm existing.
You are, and Nexus is here, was here, and will be at the Capital Creative Showcase with Video Game Bang and this guy who I only asked him back on the show because he did a good job when he was on the Wednesday show. But more importantly, we had like a little side bet where I was telling him the Washington Justice aren't that good. And they got beat yesterday, so I had to rub it
in
your face.
By Atlanta, though, in a 2-1, Corey.
Welcome back, Kyle Wynn, local indie game developer. And what do you do? What's your title over there at the SDC?
I am the on the board of directors and the fundraising chair.
Ooh.
More like the fundraising chair, am I right?
No. And then you cross the plane into my home wearing a Houston Outlaws jersey. Bro.
Oh, yeah.
You just don't do that to a guy.
I mean, the first time I met you, I was also wearing a Gladiator sweater, too, I'm pretty sure. And so,
yeah.
I love to disappoint you.
I still
that's what my aim is.
Call you over every once in a while. Wow, this
I'm testing your friendship.
Yeah, it's going good. So, thanks for joining us back. And we have a special guest, because the specialness from Kyle's worn off a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
He's a second timer.
Just kind of
he's still a guest, but he's kind of like, I don't know. But this guy is a real guest. This is the one you paid money to listen to this show for. This is, sorry, I'm building him up so much.
I know, I'm all,
Zach Wynn, another Wynn. You guys aren't related, but Zach, you're a Sacramento game developer, been doing it for a while. Tell everybody about yourself and what you do.
Yeah, my name's Zach Wynn. Like I said, two different Wynns here. I am a game developer in Sacramento and an artist, and I am making a game called The Questings of Pwn and Patu, which is an open world 2D side-scrolling adventure game. So.
That's awesome. And then, so how long have you been in the game development? What made you want to pursue this career?
Yeah, game development, I'm new. So probably about a couple years now. I've always wanted to do it. So that was, you know, just taking the leap and trying it. Last year is whenever I finally, I was like, after you see all the resources out there and the help and the, you know, the community like Sacramento Developers Collective, just decided just to take the jump, give it a shot, using the Unity engine. I mean, been having a blast doing it too. So,
dang man, that's crazy. What made you jump into doing it? Like, what took it from just an idea? Were you always an artist, or?
Yeah, so I have my background in art and animation. So yeah. I've worked in the Sacramento community with different businesses. Fair Game Retro is one. It's a retro game studio in Fair Oaks. A few other ones. Last year, the big thing that really made me do it, here's my sob story.
let's start strong, everybody. Let's
do it. My dad was going through a surgery last year. He had to get a liver transplant. So honestly, this all started because I needed something to distract myself. He's good. Everything was a happy ending. Yeah. So, but that was kind of the catalyst for me. It was just like, you know what? I need something to distract myself, and I've always wanted to do it. I actually, the characters and the game that I have started off as a children's book I was working on, and the entire time I kept wanting to see them move and interact, and so I decided to take them and some ideas from that story and translate it over into gaming. So, and that is what I'm working with. Yeah.
So, is this your first game, or have you made a few?
This is the first one I've been marketing. I've made little projects on the side whenever I was learning. My first official game is, I called it Coffee Break, and it was trying to recreate like a Donkey Kong styled arcade game. And so as a little donut trying to collect a sugar cube, a spoon, and some cream to calm down the little angry coffee mug that was shooting coffee down at the bottom. So that was the first one. And I got like a couple levels in, and it's definitely something I'm going to continue because I want to put it in my game now as a like a little mini game side game.
Oh, that's the best, yeah.
That's awesome.
So yeah, that one lives on. And then I did a few other smaller projects that were more kind of test ideas. So
the current one you have, so what was it? The Questings of Pawn and Patu?
Pawn and Patu.
Pawn and yeah. Patu.
Their names are play on Player 1 and Player 2.
Oh.
Clever. Pawn's the voiceless wolf and Patu is the breathless dragon. So they're a little bit inspired by Super Mario Brothers and Sonic the Hedgehog, that kind of 90s era, platforming game. So yeah, they're a little duo and they have adventures with each other. Well, they have quests, not adventures. Oh my gosh.
And you said this was going to start as like a children's book, but then you modified it.
Yeah. So the idea with the children's book was taking the idea with Super Mario, the original game, and how you would always go to the castle, and at the end of the castle, no, your princess is in another castle. So they're going to go on a quest similar like that, and their whole lesson would be to learn that the grass isn't always greener on the other side. So there's still some concepts of that in the story for this game because there's going to be a pretty good narrative throughout it as well. But it's now I can actually expand on it because it was really hard to figure out how to put all that in a kid's book. I was like, oh, okay, I have to write really small. And like,
what's cool is if you guys are watching the show on twitch.tv, which you should be, after the show, we're going to be actually going to take a look at the game and play it.
Yeah.
We'll get to experience it firsthand. So this being like your first, you know, kind of big one, then what was like the biggest struggle you ran into in making the game?
I mean, for me, it's going to be the programming. Like I said, I have an art background, so learning that angle of it, and like I said, I'm an artist, so I have to really change my brain and my way of thinking for it. So that was the biggest struggle. But like I said, there's so many resources out there now. I mean, YouTube is beautiful.
So what was your like level of computer knowledge before just programming a game? Like, is it really easy enough where, you know, you don't have to, you know, be building computers or some super genius computer guy like Kyle over here?
I don't know how to program.
Honestly, I don't think so.
I'm sorry, you can continue.
Okay. It's like there's a man talking to me. No, I think, I mean, I like I said, I don't really have any programming background. It's all, you know, Photoshop, Painter, you know, that's, you know, Illustrator, those were my programs before. There's a learning curve, but if you don't have programming knowledge and you at least want to try it, there's so many different tutorials out there that I think are extremely helpful. And I've gotten into it, I think, at a good time because a lot of those people have honed in on how to actually teach those classes and how to summarize it and explain it in layman's terms. So that's, I mean, I think if you haven't done programming before, just literally Google something on, you know, even just learning the basics of C#, and it's a start. You know, you got your foot going, you know, your foot in the door and you're going someplace with it, so.
What about for you, Kyle? Because you said you don't program. I was just joking. Yeah. You just seem like a guy who would program.
I've dabbled. I've like learned like 9 different times, and then I just never keep at it. So I learned like some in college, and then like just didn't do it enough, and then I've relearned it a bunch of times. I definitely get what you're talking about with like coming from a different discipline, because I come from like audio and stuff like that, and so like getting into programming, you have to like completely change the way you think about things,
mm-hmm.
and so it's super challenging, and then. I think like the main thing about programming is just like, for me it was weird that like 90% but like a good chunk of it is just like looking stuff up.
Yeah.
Because like you don't know offhand how to do stuff. You're just like scrolling through a library which says like explains. It's like a dictionary essentially.
And these are things that normal people, I think, when you're playing a game, you don't even really think about.
Oh yeah,
them,
no.
Right? Like
no,
like
yeah,
what are some of the minutia things that you find yourself up looking at?
I think there's just a lot of like interesting little, you have like, you want to do a thing, right? Because like, I mean, I don't think either of us have like a fundamental like programming baseline where we learned like the very core, like this is what an array does. This is what a function is and like what it stands. And so you don't learn the baseline. So you just kind of learn all these little things on top of it. And so like when you have like a question, you ask like a programmer, you're like, oh, it's just this thing. This is a super basic thing. Like, oh, I missed that entire level of knowledge just because, like...
Like, I didn't even know.
Yeah, it just, like, builds upon itself. Like, I guess math is the same way. And if you don't get, like, the framework, it's like trying to learn fractions before you know addition, subtraction. But it works, and you can kind of pull it off. It's odd.
Next I had a leg up, I had a leg up because I had a friend that's a programmer and engineer. So it actually, whenever I started learning programming, we were going over to his house every Thursday and getting mini classes.
Oh, that's
yeah, no, that was extremely helpful.
You said so you working with
people? No. So I'm a solo developer. Me and my partner were doing it because we were both interested in, you know, just coding at the time. And I think he was... If I can remember the timeline, he was in a class where he was learning programming, so this was kind of extra for him. The game itself, I'm solo developing. So.
Oh, okay. Nexi, you developed a game before. Did you run? What you said it, your first one was really buggy. Can you explain a little bit of what it was and what made it buggy?
So the game I was trying to develop was just a really basic, like, 2D top-down dungeon crawler. I was trying to go for a little bit of a roguelike, and there were just certain things, like, I don't know coding, like, hardly at all. Like, I got a C in class
not
in high
school.
Not a C++.
Plus.
So, it's like a C minus.
No.
But, so, I was working with RPG Maker MV, I believe, and it you don't have to type out your code completely, and you just click on all these things, and it's like, you can create these different, I forget what they're called, where it's just different, like, if...
Conditionals,
like the,
I think
yeah,
that's the proper name for it.
I think so. So doing things like that, but I could never figure out where my mistake was, and that was the hardest thing, because I wasn't being able to, like, look at my code and be capable of dissecting it, because I didn't have that knowledge, and so I'm just like... I'll just put this on the set.
Yeah, that is one of the benefits of, like, we both use Unity for ours, and, like, Unity's nice because it'll tell you, like, hey, by the way, you're, like, missing a semicolon in the script, and it, like, tells you the line in place, and so, like, when you're like, why isn't it working, it's like, it's right here, you idiot. I'm like, thank you.
I've definitely had the days like that, even with the code, where it's like my whole day of working is like, why won't he jump now?
Oh, yeah.
And then you go and like, you're like, oh, okay, he's jumping again. Yeah,
it was
the most.
You just
like,
commented out
thing.
One thing,
yeah.
And you're
yes,
like scrolling
yeah.
through like 900 lines, like, and you just find it.
Yep.
Trying to fix one thing, and then another thing goes wrong. I'm like, I couldn't figure out why. Because in the game, you would go into, like, a cavern, and you could come back out if you wanted to, like, visit the town and do some shopping or whatever for potions. Maybe buy some cute shoes. I don't know. but for some reason, you weren't capable of going back into the caverns. And as I was trying to, like, figure that out, then just so much more started, like, popping up. I'm like, wait, why aren't you spawning in the middle of the map? You're spawning directly in the corner. That's not... And then I fixed that, and it's like, okay, but there's still so much.
I remember I had a buddy who was making a game, and the issue was the key to the lock or something like that. So he was trying to just make it to where you need to have this particular key, like, in your inventory to open the door. And I remember it was like the chronicles of that. Like, every week we'd come back and be, hey, how's that game going? Still can't fix that lock, man. So, like, you know, I put the lock in, and then the dog disappears. Like, so it's crazy that, you know, for us who, you know, we see these games in development, and we're like, oh, they're delaying it?
Yeah.
Another fucking 2 months? But they promised me this game in June.
You appreciate them so much more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Imagine what we're, you know, the things we're talking about into a game like, you know, what's the new one? Cyberpunk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's got to just, like, be a absolute just...
That's a unit.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It just, like, because the amount of, like, complexity, but, like, also, like, I have a team of, like, 4 people, and, like, trying to keep them organized is difficult, and I'm, like, let alone, like, thinking about, like, how big, like, the Rockstar team was that shipped, like, GTA. There's, like, 4 studios across the entire planet, or, like, even CD Projekt. They're, like, I think 2 or 3 studios of, like, hundreds of, maybe thousands of people all on one thing, all on, like, the amount of just organization is
we need to appreciate a little bit more.
Yeah, it's just, like, a well-oiled machine, because it's just, yeah, it's fascinating.
So you work with, you said you have a team of 4 people working on the game, while Zach has, you know, he's going solo. What's the pros and cons, or what made you decide, Zach, I guess, to do a solo project and not like group up with a couple friends or something?
Partially, I was that guy in the group project that was like, give me your stuff. And I'll do it. So that might be a little bit of it. But I mean, since it started solo and it's a passion project for me. So, you know, I've wanted to put my fingerprint on everything. So audio, visuals, you know, the programming, what the gameplay is. So, I mean, part of it's stubbornness, and it is a little nicer because I just have to organize myself. Mm-hmm. And that can already be a challenge. So I can imagine whenever you add other people to the team, where, like, if I had a programmer, you know, that would probably make things a lot easier on one end, but then at the same time I'd have to figure out what they were doing, what I'm doing, so...
I think it plays into personality types. You guys take those Myers-Briggs and stuff, because if I was ever to tackle any kind of game development project, there's no way I could even imagine doing it by myself. I would just be overwhelmed, and I procrastinate, and it's the most intimidating thing. I feel like I'd have to do it in a team, but you putting it all together speaks to, like, you know, your personality type of just get it done by myself. Other people will just get in the way.
I think I'm the executive one, whatever that one is, that personality type, which I think very much explains, like, absolutely working with the team as opposed to solo, because, like, I've tried to do solo, but I'm like, I think the self-motivation is, like, the hardest part, which that's why I was curious about, like, how you are able to stay self-motivated, like, when you come home and instead of, like, opening up YouTube or Netflix or a game or something, you're just like, I'm gonna work, like,
that happens. I mean, I'm so used to working on my own. Like I said, I did a lot of graphic design, animation for, you know, local companies, outsourced. So, I mean, part of me's used to being alone. And then I also bartend as a day job. So I have so much human interaction sometimes. It's like,
you just need like a break from people.
I talk all day, you know, every day. So it's, you know, it's become like a me thing in a sense. And then, like I said, it snowballed and now it's way bigger. And, you know, I'm used to that workload a bit. But, you know, I can totally see the benefits of having people on your team as well, you know, so.
What's your plan when it comes to, like, marketing? Have you been thinking that far ahead? Or,
That's going to be the biggest hurdle, to be honest. I know I said programming earlier, but I think for it's self-marketing. And I'm already not the best social media person. That's, you know, training in just social media itself is a whole different beast, you know. Right now what I'm doing is I have like a weekly to bi-weekly video show. It's, you know, they're about 2 to 5 minutes long, just giving development updates about what's going on in the game.
That's awesome.
So that's another way I stay self-motivated, but then it's also just my way of getting this, you know, getting the game out there little by little, especially because I know I came out of nowhere. like last year, you know, I was like, I'm going to do this and here I am. So that helps. And then it also kind of keeps me organized and like I'm keeping track of my journey, and it's been fun to watch that too. And then I can say, like, you know, like I had the California State Fair, kind of did a little thing about that, and it was like, that was fun. I can go back and remember it.
Yeah.
We did something similar. We did dev blogs where kind of like I wrote my thoughts out, and we did one every like month or two, and it's like interesting to like go back and see like, oh my God, I thought this at that time. Like that's entirely different because you have a certain set of knowledge, and then as you come later on you understand that like, oh my God, that was like the dumbest idea, why did I go down that rabbit hole, and it was like the worst feature I've ever added in. But then you kind of like, it's always interesting to like kind of go back and like see your process.
Yeah, well, I'm like, even recently that kind of happened after the state fair. That was a great thing because it was my like first big play test. I don't know why I thought it'd be great on like the biggest platform, but it was great because I had all these kids. I had one kid that made Pwn the Wolf fly, and I'm like, he's not supposed to do that. like fly around. Even after that, there's a climbing mechanic, because a lot of this game, there's three main games that I've kind of been using as a base or inspiration for. I'm a big Nintendo dork. That's my thing. But Paper Mario for the Nintendo 64, Banjo-Kazooie, and Breath of the Wild. And so one of the things from Breath of the Wild is I love being able to climb everything. I think that was one of the bigger things. Like, I can go anywhere. So I added a climbing mechanic for him, and I was noticing just even how, you know, all age groups, who was struggling with the climbing or what was happening. And so I changed just the controls of the climbing to now where he just automatically does it. You move him left and right, and that's made, like, a huge difference.
Interesting.
So it's, yeah, it was, that was a... it's interesting going back and you're like, what was I thinking? And then you're like, oh, I can do it this. But I mean, even with your code and everything, there's still stuff I'm like, I can do this better. I'm going to fix it up and come back and do it.
That's the one weird thing I've noticed whenever we did like play testing or like showing it to audiences is like, you always get a lot of kids and like, I'm watching everything or like analyzing everything through a 24-year-old who's got like moderately game knowledge and I've played a lot of games, whereas like a lot of kids have very narrow, like they've only played like 3 or 4 games a lot and like they don't have a ton of experience or like they don't have a ton of like, you know, super critical thinking skills just yet because they're 8. And then they're like playing through your game like, oh my god, I did not think of that. Like they're looking it through an entirely different lens and you're like realizing like, oh my, I just way overcomplicated that. Or like, I got really impressed because I thought my game was like super complicated and like there's like kids playing it like, no, it's not, dude. It's like super simple. Yeah. I'm like, okay, cool. Well,
you're all good. Yeah.
Was there any of those moments where a kid or something was just way too brutally honest?
Dude, so at the fair, we were sitting there. This kid comes up and like kind of just checking out our game for a second. And then he's like, wait, are those just free? Because we had the Smash games right behind us. And I'm like, yeah. It's like, okay. And then just walks away. And then we had another one, too, where a kid just kind of came up with, nah. Just walked away again. Dude, kids are the most brutally honest. The parents are like, come back. That is very rude. Like, I'm so sorry. Like, nah, dude, I appreciate that. It's, like, really telling that, like...
It's your market research.
Yeah, you got to know, like, what your target demographic is. And ours is not...
You're not going to go wherever that shithead is and try and sell
that game.
We're
not going to age 10. We're not hitting the Fortnite genre. We're not, you know.
In your defense, dude, like, having Smash and Fortnite behind me, I was like, damn it.
Hell yeah.
Well, they can see it, too, but... I had a couple times where like the kids were asking, how do I get there? And I'm like, you find out. Like,
Nexi, let's go back because it's been about a month since you told me you wanted to dabble with game development. Mm. Have you just put it on the back burner or have you actually started, you know, spitballing more ideas?
No, I've been keeping a little bit of a sketchbook going to do a little bit. I'm working on like the art of the game first to kind of figure out what the aesthetic is that I want to go with, and then I'll put everything together. I'll figure it all out later.
You were saying you were going to torture but, yourself by like hand drawing all the stuff in there, right?
Yeah, I'm going to, oh god.
It's a lot of
like,
work.
Like
you can
frame
do it,
by frame every animation?
Well, probably that. I'm going to keep it super simple with everything. It's all going to be probably pixel art, and then when it comes into like dialogue, have like little portraits that pop up or something, because I want to make it super spooky and I love doing like macabre art, so keeping it like all
well go scary. Take us through the premise if you don't mind.
So the entire plot of the game, there's going to be multiple endings, so trying to not spoil that too much, I guess. Your character is leaving a bad situation and you end up getting into a car accident while there's like this creature in the middle of the road, and you wake up in this town that's surrounded by woods, and in the woods are cryptids, so are just like
cryptids.
Really messed up monsters.
Okay.
So cryptids that are most like well known are like Bigfoot and things like that. But I want to make like messed up things.
Like, why do you want to do this?
Because it's fun.
You know these things cause gun violence, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We're gonna cause everyone to run around allegedly thinking they're cryptids, and then
yeah, you won't be able to sell it
chase
in a Walmart.
A man-bear
that's,
pigs.
That's actually pretty funny because the plot of the game is the town. The town seems very much like a cult, but they're not. They're just kind of like
cult of cryptids.
That's a new name.
There you go.
Of our death metal band.
Trademark it then.
Yeah.
Cult of Cryptids.
That's actually a good... Okay. Anyways, I'm going to write that down. but so everybody in the town is very like disfigured and slowly turning into these monsters. And your dialogue choices and the way that you interact with these people and solve the puzzles is going to determine whether you... save them and, well, save, quote-unquote, bringing them back to humanity, or if
I thought she goes, quote-unquote, because in her head she knows that there's a subplot between
them.
She's got layers upon layers of, like, well, it's actually this. You think it's this, but then you find out that... They wanted to be these things all along, and then they were tortured as human.
They're trying to, like, convince you to be, like... And the thing is that they're doing it in, like, a very, again, very cult-type way. Like, join us. It's fine. They're just trying to save us. And you're just like... I don't know. The game is supposed to make you think that saving the town and turning them all back into human and staying human yourself, that's, like, the good ending.
But...
Dun,
dun, dun. So you're
but it's
make...
actually Undertale, and you've got, like, 29,000 different endings.
True.
Oh, so what are we... See, now this has got to be the next Capital Creative Showcase. You got a year.
2020.
You got a year now. You're on the clock. Capital Creative Showcase going down September 7th. Now, so this is going to be, you can go there, you can play games. If you have any questions, if you live in the Northern California area, I'm not even going to say Sacramento. If you live anywhere in the area, you want to come out and actually play a bunch of independent games, ask questions, bring your 8-year-old and just watch them crush dreams.
There'll be some really good, like, games for, like, every different age group. We've got, like, cool, super nice, like, platformers that are, like, pick up and go, you know what you're doing, and then there's, like, dad games.
Dad games?
What kind of a dad game, I guess.
I just want to play the game, to be honest with you guys. Yeah. So
I want to see it. I've heard about it, and I've, like, never seen...
Well, and you said I'm doing hand animation frame by frame, too. I mean, like I said, it's the background, so that's... Mm-hmm. You know, it looks like a cartoon. Yeah.
Well, I've been known to break a game or two in my time. So
please do.
I'm going to make a wolf fly today. Thank you so much. So where can people learn more about the game before they come out and see on Capital Creative Showcase?
Yeah, you can go to my website. That's at zachwin.com. I don't have a complex. It just makes it easier to remember. That's Z-A-C-H-W-I-N-N. And like I said, all the information's on the game. It has links to my social media. I'm on Twitter and Facebook. And then plus I do those weekly videos just kind of giving you updates about what's going on. So.
All right, Kyle, what about you, man?
You can find my game Evocus at Play Evocus. Every social, and I'm Kyle the Winner on Twitter. Winner is W-Y-N-N-E-R.
I see what you did there.
I'm super clever, I know.
See what you did there. Yeah. Nexi, what's the stream schedule been looking like? What you been playing lately?
I've actually been back to streaming. I've done 2 streams in the past, like, 3 weeks. So that's
Whoa,
good.
She's back, everybody.
Yeah, 2 streams in a row. 2 days in a row, dude. I've been playing some Dead by Daylight, of course, the usual. And I actually played Monster Prom last night. And I got rejected.
Wait, what is Monster Prom?
I was just trying to touch a demon's butt, you know?
Wait, what?
Were they okay with it?
Did you ask?
He wouldn't let me. And, you know, it feels like real life, so.
You try and touch a demon's butt and he got pissed off?
I asked. He said no.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, at least you asked.
That's, yeah.
Consent matters.
Exactly.
It does. If you take anything away from this episode, that's what you take away.
Nothing else.
Nothing else. Not interested in game development.
You can check out my garbage streams at twitch.tv/nexuswashere_. I can't get rid of that underscore for some reason, even though Nexus Was Here isn't even taken.
I bet it's not on Mixer.
Yeah, I had Nexus Was Here on Mixer.
Wait, why are you
just
waiting?
Switch.
Just switch. Join
because,
Ninja.
Okay, after I get my next Twitch payout.
Okay.
After TwitchCon. All right. Because I already bought that ridiculously expensive ticket. But
we just got a follow from the Belvins themselves.
It's
Ninja
the
was like, he was like, they said my name. The video game man said my name. We love you, the Belvins.
It's Blevins. He's a podcaster as well, friend of mine.
Okay, you got. I was really hoping it was Ninja.
No, I mean he makes the he makes the joke probably on a weekly basis.
Oh, does he?
He's the number one Blevins on Twitch now.
Oh, he is. Yeah, 100%. If you guys like the show and you listen to it each week on iTunes or one of those great platforms like Spotify, Audio Boom, you can actually watch us live on twitch.tv/videogame_bang on Wednesdays and Saturdays. And if you are watching us now, you can check out our past episodes, look at the archives on iTunes, over 500 episodes, 4 years. You can see all the predictions we've got wrong. It's been pretty amazing how much we get wrong.
We need to make a compilation of that.
You can.
It'd be like 3 hours long.
And then that's it. Thanks, guys. We'll be at Silicon Valley Comic Con this weekend, too. I forgot to mention, if you guys are going to be in the area, we're going to be doing the podcast at Podcast Palooza. So, yeah, we got that going for us. All right. For Kyle, Zach, Nexus, my name is Corey Sang. You've just been banged.